The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Just wondering, can you shed light on the decision to leave behind Blackhawks and other equipment? How that fits in with the contingency plan the U.S. has?
Leave behind
Blackhawks and other equipment. Why give the Taliban access to state-of-art equipment that they could either use to bolster their own defenses or sell off to other countries?
This is, I think, a very good example of the difficult choices a president faces.
How does the billions of dollars worth of weaponry that the U.S. gave Afghanistan, does the U.S. have a plan for that, or does it remain in the Taliban?
We don't have a complete picture, obviously, of where every article of defense materials has gone, but certainly a fair amount of it has fallen into the hands of the Taliban. And obviously, we don't have a sense that they are going to readily hand it over to us at the airport.
Has the president spoken to any other world leaders since Kabul fell to the Taliban?
He has not yet spoken with any other world leaders.
The mission is not complete by August 31st, and there are Americans and Afghan allies who remain there. Will U.S. troops stay until everyone is out, or will they leave?
So I'm not going to comment on hypotheticals. What I'm going to do is stay focused on the task at hand, which is getting as many people out as rapidly as possible.
Can you offer any guarantee to the Americans and Afghan allies that if they remain there past the end of the month, U.S. troops will help them evacuate past the end of the month?
Weijia, our focus right now is undoing the work at hand.
How many Americans do you believe to be in Afghanistan right now?
Well, we think there are certainly thousands of Americans. We don't have an exact count. I would say somewhere, best guess, between 5,000 and 10,000.
The reason I've been asking you about those numbers is just because of that. I want to understand how you're going to do that, because there are only so many people at the airport right now. There aren't 20,000 people at the airport right now. There aren't 5,000 to 10,000 Americans at the airport right now. They're at their homes, either in Kabul or the area. What is the plan to get these people to the airport?
From a military perspective, John, our focus is at the airport. It's right now, though, I don't want to set the expectation that that we are equipped and able to go out into the countryside and physically move people into Kabul.
If they can't get to the airport, what does it matter if you have the capabilities to get them out from the airport?
Yeah, John, I understand that. And we all understand that the security situation in Kabul is not ideal.
The UN Security Council issued a joint press statement earlier today calling for a new government that is united, inclusive, and representative, including with the full and meaningful participation of women.
Well, amid all of the chaos in Afghanistan, at least you have a U.S. official there calling for inclusivity, making sure that the Taliban include women. There is one U.S. official right after another admitting on national TV that we have no plan. We do not know what we're doing. We're not sure how this is going to play out. They were very sure 5, 6, 7 weeks ago. Back then it was, the Taliban, they're not making very many advances. Our retreat's going right according to plan. It's working perfectly. And now it's just exploding in their faces. And they have nothing to say. They don't know what they are doing. They just don't know. Their answer to tough questions is that, well, we've got tough choices. We have difficult choices to make. You can see, I think, where this is leading. They don't know what to do. And so all that they can do is make statements like you heard there at the end. We're calling on the Taliban government to be fair and to protect American citizens and to include women. That's about all that they can do, is to try to appease the monsters in the heart of Afghanistan. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's live broadcast. We come to you live every day, 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States, 12 noon out on the East Coast, and 9 a.m. in the morning along the West Coast. We're happy to have a broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio Network. That would be Channel 3 on their platform, and that goes into 11 million homes across the United States. It takes just the audio version of this broadcast. There's a replay later at night as well. But if you want to get to the video presentation, including the video podcast that we post soon after the live broadcast, you have to go to the trumpet.com website. We can't really make it available in too many places because the censors, the ones that will allow the Taliban to go forward with their tweets, they're very careful about watching the Trumpet Daily and blotting it out if they have to. Same thing with Donald Trump. Same thing with a lot of conservative voices. Just scrub from social media. Even as the Taliban continues to tweet away. What does that tell you? As I said yesterday, what does that tell you about the world we're in? Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, you can see the direction that this is headed. All that really they have left to do is to try to appease the Taliban, give them everything that they want, and hope that they don't start killing Americans. They're already killing Afghanis. They're already killing those that were interpreters or those that were helping U.S. soldiers. I'll give you some of the accounts here in just a minute. They have a track record. They have a history. There's a history there. They ran right across the nation of Afghanistan, and they've taken over in just a matter of days. 2-3 weeks' time. That statement there at the end, Ned Price is his name, saying that we join with the UN in calling for the Taliban to include women in their government. Listen to this. We're not alone. We in the United States, we're not alone as far as woke generals are concerned. There's a defense chief over in the UK. He fought in Bosnia, Kosovo, Afghanistan. He's got quite a record of serving in the British Army. He is now the chief of defense. Richard tells me that this is like the equivalent of our joint chiefs of staff. That would be General Milley. Well, he was on an interview with Sky News over in the UK this week, and listen to what this man had to say about the Taliban. This is clip 5.
And how do you feel about collaborating with the enemy when they have carried out such atrocities against UK military personnel over the years?
I think you have to be very careful using the word enemy. I think people need to understand who the Taliban actually are. And of course, what they are a disparate collection of tribespeople. As President Karzai put it to me only yesterday, they're country boys. And the plain fact is that they happen to live by a code of honour and a standard, which has been their standard for many, many years. It's called Pashtun Wali. It has honour at the heart of what they do. They are bound together by a common purpose, which is they don't like corrupt governance. They don't like governance that is self-serving. And they want an Afghanistan that is inclusive for all.
Country boys. Maybe if those country boys voted for Trump, he'd be a little more concerned. A code of honor? They're just basically, it's a movement that wants to do away with bad government. This is the UK defense chief. This is where we're headed. This is like the 1930s. Give Hitler the space and the time, the resources, give him what he needs. Give him everything. Give him Czechoslovakia. Give him Austria. Give him the Sudetenland. That's what we're seeing in the United States and Great Britain. They've been shooting at U.S. and British servicemen for 20 years. They've been blowing up American and British soldiers for 20 years. As I said to you yesterday, soon after 9/11, we went in there and said, hey, give us Osama bin Laden. They wouldn't do it. And now they're giving us ultimatums. You get everybody out by September 11, the 20-year anniversary. We've got a big celebration coming. You get everybody out. You get out of our country. And let us proceed with Taliban rule. What is it? The Emirate of whatever Afghanistan? They changed the name. The problem is there's people that can't get out. We'll come to that later. But look at the leadership. Look at speaking of the equivalent, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley. This was in testimony on June 23rd, so just, I guess, about seven weeks ago. And listen to what he was saying about the Taliban and its sweep across the country. He was basically saying just 7 weeks ago, oh, it's not happening. Nothing like that is happening. This is clip 10.
To back up a little bit on the momentum of the Taliban, so to speak, there's 81 district centers that are currently, we think, are underneath Taliban control. That's out of 419 district centers. There's no provincial capital that is underneath Taliban control, and there's 34 of those. It is true that the Taliban are sniping at and picking off outposts, et cetera, and they have seized some district centers. 60% of the 81 were seized last year, and the others since the last 2 months or so. So, yes, we're concerned. We're watching it. But there's a 300,000 plus or minus military force, Afghanistan army and police force, and it is their job to defend their country.
June 23rd, 7-8 weeks ago, he says, hey, most of the gains they made, that was last year. It's only 81 out of 419 districts. And look, the Afghan army, there's like 300,000 in the army. It's no problem. We've got a perfect plan. We're executing it perfectly. Now they're begging Taliban to include women. Now they're begging for the Taliban to have mercy on Americans trapped inside Afghanistan, trapped behind enemy lines. These are not just people at the airport. These are as many as some have said 5,000-10,000, as you heard in the montage. Some have said as many as 40,000. We don't know for sure. In and around Kabul, and perhaps scattered throughout Afghanistan. And yet, listen to this UK defense chief. How disgraceful, this next comment here. And the reporter interjects and says, well, hang on a second. They don't include women. I mean, what are you saying? This is a reporter, a left-wing reporter, setting this man with his deranged thinking, trying to set it straight. This is clip 6.
And they want an Afghanistan that is inclusive for all. So I think rather than talking
except
about...
women.
What?
Except women.
Well, again, I think we have to wait and see. I mean, I don't know what they mean.
We can't support the way that they treat women. We surely.
Well, I think you have to listen to what they're saying at the moment, and I think you have to listen to the facts on the ground.
They're saying they are definitely, have to abide by Sharia law.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's anything that you and I would approve of particularly.
I'm just clarifying that.
Absolutely, but I do think that they have changed. I think they recognise that over the course of the last 20 years, Afghanistan has evolved. They recognise the fundamental role that women have played in that evolution. And yes, they at the moment will undoubtedly say that they want to respect women's rights under Islamic law, and that will be a Sharia law. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't allow them to be involved in government and in education and in medicine and those things that they need them to be involved in. So I think we have to be patient. We have to give them the space to show how they are going to step up to the plate.
Give the terrorists some space. Have we heard this argument before? Give the criminals, give the looters, give the rioters space to destroy. And that's what we're doing in Afghanistan. Think about the plan of getting out thousands and thousands of American soldiers before you get out thousands and some say tens of thousands, ordinary American citizens, contractors, civilians. You take the army out first? And then they try to come back and surround the airport in the hope that these Americans scattered all over the nation can somehow make it through Taliban checkpoints over to the Kabul airport. And then there you have the military leader, pretty much the top military official in the UK, saying, give them space. Give them some time. I mean, I think they've changed. They've evolved. They're going to include women. What is wrong with these people and their thinking? I'll tell you what's wrong. It's a sickness, and it's prophesied. Straight out of Isaiah 3. Straight out of Isaiah 1. You're seeing it every day. These woke generals are destroying our nations. And they're not alone, leading the way to destruction. You've got the propagandists in the media for their... Now, some of them are even shocked. I think Jake Tapper spent a fair bit of time in Afghanistan over the years. And how many others in the newsrooms are getting tweets and emails from friends, maybe family, in Afghanistan, saying, we're trapped. And yet still, as I say, social media and such, you've got the Taliban terrorist chiefs just tweeting away. Even as Donald Trump has been banned for almost a year, Washington Post had something to say about that strange dynamic. Why Trump's banned and the Taliban aren't? He says they play by the rules. This is a Washington Post opinion writer. He says, as far as why the Taliban hasn't been banned, today's Taliban uses sophisticated social media practices that rarely violate the rules. Oh, they're sophisticated, just like the people that went to Obama's party. Are you seeing a pattern here? These are terrorist sympathizers, if not outright terrorists, living amid all of us in the West. That's right. Hey, the Taliban, they're just a couple of, it's a good old country boy bunch. That's right. They're country boys. They need a little bit of space. They really, I mean, they all have a code of honor that they abide by. It's wonderful. This code. They really dislike bad government. That's what they oppose. And women, hey, give them a chance. They've really evolved the last 20 years. They've been trying to shoot our soldiers. They've really evolved. So give them some space. Well, they've got plenty of space to work with now. They've got the whole nation of Afghanistan. This is from a Twitter handle that goes by Refugee Lives Matter. Probably going to be deleted pretty soon. So we'll try to get to some of this, some of these individual cases before Jack Dorsey says, no, we can't put all of this suffering and carnage brought on by the Taliban. We really can't draw attention to this. It's from a post August 17th, yesterday. Multiple reports coming directly from Herat that the Taliban are taking Shia Afghan men at night to camps and they do not return. Can anyone confirm this or speak more about it? Another one here. Today, Taliban forcibly taking my house in Sharanau. So much for assurances that private property will be respected. That's from August 17th as well. This is the Associated Press. You say, well, that's just a Twitter post. How can we be sure it's true? The Associated Press on August 15th, just a few days ago, it says, last month after capturing the Malistan district of the southern Ghazni province, Taliban fighters went door to door looking for people who had worked with the government, killing at least 27 civilians, wounding 10 others, and looting homes, according to the semi-official Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission. It says, after capturing Herat, Taliban fighters paraded two alleged thieves through the streets with black makeup on their faces. It says, that's considered a warning, while repeat offenders risk having a hand cut off. The Taliban have also been known to stone suspected adulterers and carry out public executions in accordance with their harsh version of Islamic law. Hey, just give them some time. I think there's a lot of people in Afghanistan that are saying, we don't have time. If we don't get out now, that's why you've got them hanging from wheels of planes, of C-17s. So desperate to get out. Twitter post today, shocking beyond imagination. 400 men groping, beating, and tearing cloth of one TikToker girl. Says girl screaming for help. Yesterday, Afghan translators and those who are suspected of working for foreign countries have been tortured by the Taliban. Taliban killed Hamdullah Hamdard, a former U.S. military interpreter, last night in Jalalabad before his house in front of his family and children. Just pulled him outside of his house and put him to death right in front of his children. Says it's 4 a.m. in Kabul. The Taliban are currently going through the crowd outside of the airport and beating the SIV men with chains while thousands of our Marines are just on the other side of the gate. They have been ordered to stand down, at least for now. Just let the Taliban carry out their beatings right there on the other side of the gate near the Kabul airport. Give them space. Give them a little bit of time. Says the UK defense chief. Just give them a little bit of space, a little bit more time. August 16th, it says the Taliban terrorists entered the house of two pilots, raped their women, and killed them in Kabul. Kabul is not a safe place for pilots. This is in the capital city. Right down the road from American troops at the airport. And listen to the woke leadership. Listen to Joe Biden. On Monday, he tried to explain what happened. He blamed the administration before him. He blamed the Afghan government. He blamed the Afghan army. He blamed everybody but himself. What happened? What happened is you evacuated thousands of soldiers before you evacuated tens of thousands of American citizens. That's what happened. You know what could have prevented this? One Air Force base, Bagram Airfield, just one. And you've got some air cover. You stop the Taliban advance before it gets started. As it is, they left that airfield in the dead of night. And now you have all of these Biden officials out there saying, well, that's a good question. And my answer is that we've got some tough choices here. Can you guarantee the safety of those Americans that might be there after August 31st? We're just going to focus on today. We can't really make any guarantees. What about the plan? There really is no plan. We're just hoping they can get to the airport. And then we'll get them out, hopefully. Hopefully. Can you get them to the airport? Can't do that. Listen to America. Speaking of the woke generals, this is like Biden's woke general brigade. This is the defense secretary, Lloyd Austin. And this, too, is from that congressional hearing 7-8 weeks ago, June 23rd. And listen to him talk about the Taliban advance. Clip 8.
So given the accelerating pace of Taliban victories and control of key districts since we've been withdrawing since May 1st, how are things going? I mean, is our withdrawal at an appropriate pace when they're picking up all these districts around the country?
Well thank you. We are focused on, and the task that we have at hand is to conduct our retrograde in a safe, orderly, and responsible fashion. We've developed a very detailed plan to do that, and we have accomplished the task according to plan thus far.
It's working perfectly. We had a plan here. It's in place, and it's moving right along, said the defense secretary on June 23rd. He went on to say this with this congressman asking him questions. Clip 9.
But none of us want to see a bloodbath against women and children in particular, or against former U.S. supporters like translators. So how are we going to prevent that?
In terms of taking care of women and girls in Afghanistan, our plan is to maintain an embassy there And through the embassy, we'll continue to work programs that are focused on women and girls.
And the contents of that embassy went up in flames on Sunday as Americans evacuated their post. The plan was to keep the embassy there and to keep on with the program, promoting women and girls and their place in government. That was 7 weeks ago. These are the people heading up the U.S. military. These are the people heading up the U.K. military. And what's happening on the ground? The Washington Post reported this. National security officials in the Biden administration told a bipartisan group of Senate staffers on Tuesday that about 10,000 to 15,000 U.S. citizens remain in Afghanistan. It says it's the most concrete figure given to date about how many are still there. It says during the time of crisis in a foreign country, U.S. citizens are instructed to notify the local U.S. embassy of their presence so diplomats can work to assist them. That creates a database for the U.S. to estimate the number of Americans in need of help. It says, according to the aides, those that witnessed this this meeting, the administration officials from the State Department, the State and Defense Departments, as well as the National Security Council and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, also told the assembled Senate staffers that there is no plan to evacuate Americans who are outside Kabul, as they do not have a way of getting through the Taliban checkpoints outside the Afghan capital. There is no plan to rescue the Americans. I mean, those of you old enough to remember the hostage crisis from the late 70s, this could be that on steroids. This could be that times 10. If it's not, then you can be sure there's some massive concessions being made behind the scenes to appease the monster, to give the monster the space and the time that he needs to digest what he's just devoured before he then moves on to the next target, just like Winston Churchill prophesied. There are no plans to evacuate Americans who are outside Kabul. Yesterday, the State Department released this message to Americans trapped in Afghanistan. It says, "To American citizens, thank you for registering your request to be evacuated from Afghanistan. The U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan has confirmed that an undefined number of U.S. government-provided flights will begin soon. Please make your way to the Karzai International Airport at this time. Please make your way to the airport." It says further, "Please be advised that the United States government cannot guarantee your security as you make this trip." And so you have reporters asking these Biden officials. Well, I've been hearing from sources that they actually did try to make the trip. They couldn't get through the Taliban checkpoint. They went back to hide in their apartment. So what are you going to do for them? They have no plan. They have no plan. Imagine that. Waking up today, if you're in the Biden White House, and you've got perhaps 15,000, as many as 20 or 30,000 Americans trapped. And you look at the White House log, you look at the to-do list for the Biden administration today. Well, the president got his daily briefing at 9:30 this morning. No press allowed in that one. At 11 o'clock, you've got the COVID-19 response team coming out giving its update. That's taking the slot of the press briefing today. So that's a way to sort of, again, keep the press from asking questions about this. 12 o'clock, there's an in-town pool call, whatever that means. 2:15, the president and the vice president receive a briefing from members of the White House COVID-19 response team. You've got thousands of Americans trapped in Afghanistan. And this is the to-do list for the Biden White House. Unbelievable. This is quite a stunning demise, like a free fall from an airplane, as I said yesterday. The American superpower. If you want to get to the Kabul airport, we recommend that you do. We just can't guarantee your safety. Listen to State Department spokesman Ned Price. He was in the opening montage there at the end, but listen to what he had to say. I think this is an exchange that goes on with the reporter as well. Clip one.
Is it my understanding that the U.S. is still not providing any transportation either to Americans or to SIVs trying to get to the airport to depart for, on these planes?
I'll tell you what we are doing. We are doing everything we possibly can in a very fluid and dynamic and challenging security environment.
I understand that.
To bring to safety as many people who wish to do so. There are broad categories of individuals that we're prioritizing. In the first instance, we repatriated many of our embassy staff.
Ned, that's not my question. My question is, are you providing any kind of transportation for people who need to get to the airport? Are you considering a safe zone around the airport to make it easier for people to access these flights if they qualify?
We are doing everything we can in a challenging and dynamic security environment.
It's
a yes or no question. Are you helping these Americans get to the airport or not? And the answer, like a broken record, hey, we're doing everything that we can. It's a challenging situation. It's a fluid situation. Here's a little more, clip two.
We have received assurances from the Taliban that they will allow safe passage to civilians transiting to the airport.
This is all that they have to resort to. It's just like the UK defense chief. Look, give them some time. You know, they're evolving. They're going to include women. They're going to be nice about this. They're going to guarantee safe passage. They're going to allow for safe passage. It's all they have. Hoping that the monster doesn't devour the captives. Here's clip three.
But two of them are telling us right now they can't get to the airport and they've gone back home.
I can't speak to individual cases. What I can speak to is what we are seeking to do. We are doing everything within our power to affect a passage, affect a corridor of safe passage for civilians. This is a dynamic, it's a fluid security environment. If we're in a position to do more, I can guarantee you we will do as much as we can.
Not something you can do at the moment.
At the moment, we are doing everything we can to allow civilians to be able to transit to the airport.
You're on your own, basically. This is the American plan for those 10, 15, 20,000 who are stranded. Get to the airport if you can, and if you can't, shelter in place. And I guess, just hope for the best. One last clip. This is clip four.
Our message remains for American citizens and for others who have expressed interest in relocation out of Afghanistan. Shelter in place until and unless you receive a communication from the U.S. Embassy. This is, again, a challenging security environment. So unless and until individuals are instructed by the U.S. Embassy to make their way to the HKIA compound, we are asking them to remain in place.
Right, but these are people who have been instructed and they can't get there. So what is your advice to the Americans who have been notified, they have the email from you, they have the instructions, they can't get there, they went back home, they're hiding in their apartments?
We tell them in our communications that their safety needs to be their top priority. If they feel that it is unsafe for them to make their way to the airport, they should not seek to do so.
Quite a comforting message coming from your government. If you don't feel like it's safe to get to the airport, then don't go. Stay where you are. Hide out in your apartment until the Taliban comes knocking. The sickness, as I say, the sickness is on display every day now. This is from Isaiah chapter 1, where the prophet says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity." I mean, this is the root cause here. "A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the eternal. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint." My father says in the Isaiah booklet, he said, this applies to Israel anciently and today. Israel was and today is too sick and faint-hearted to deal with its own problems and enemy nations. We're just too sick. We're too sick to deal with it. And you listen to them talk. And they're confessing their sickness. Look, they're a changed people. They're good old country boys. They just need a little bit of time. They need some space. I think they're going to include women. Let's just wait and see. Let's wait and see. Even as thousands upon thousands of Americans, I would imagine there's some British people in there too, a few at least, trapped in Afghanistan. My father writes about this too in the Ezekiel booklet about the sickness talked about in Isaiah 1. It says, God is saying the power structure that leads these nations of Israel is sick. You see, we've got the woke brigade leading the nations of Israel, and they are sick. Now the sickness goes from head to toe. But it says here, neither the leaders nor their followers have the will or the strength to get to the roots of race riots or terrorist attacks and solve them once and for all. They just don't have the will. We got into this yesterday somewhat. Leviticus 26. The pride in our power, it's been broken. And in large part because some of the leaders that you've heard from on today's program, it's prophesied. Isaiah 3, if you read the first two verses there, it says that God's going to take them away. He's taken away the mighty man, the man of war, the man of strength. And he's replaced them with what you've seen earlier. Weakness. I don't think in any one of these sound bites we've played, coming from these woke leaders in the military, I don't think they're anywhere near ever getting fired. You would think just for what they said 7 weeks ago that people would be getting fired. Now listen, the Taliban, they've only taken over a few districts, and the Afghan army, it's massive. Everything's going according to plan. And then they still have their jobs today. As the whole world watches this disaster play out, almost like in slow motion, so painful to watch. It says here, because of the sin these nations are laden with, and because of the weakness of our leaders, we will experience desolation and burning, all at the hands of strangers. Enemies, in other words. Desolation, burning. I said yesterday, I made the point then right at the end of the program, you know, the propaganda media, Obama's people, even they are turning on, and you've heard from some of the reporters today. It's very unusual to see them press like they've pressed. Well, but what about the ones that have had to go back to their apartments? Should have had more of that following the election steal back in November. This is from the former ambassador to Afghanistan, I should say. His name is Ryan Crocker. He was the ambassador in, I think, 2012 and 13. He said, I'm left with some grave questions in my mind about Joe Biden's ability to lead our nation as commander-in-chief. To have read this so wrong, or even worse, to have understood what was likely to happen and not care. That's the former ambassador to Afghanistan who was there during the Obama years. There has been a signal change, and you can see it. You can see it in the coverage of this tragedy from Jake Tapper, Don Lemon. They're going after the president who hasn't called one world leader throughout this crisis. You heard the daily schedule that he has going on today. It's all COVID, 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 COVID. Even as perhaps tens of thousands of Americans are trapped behind enemy lines. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a short study on, well, the subject of leadership and how important it is, godly leadership. You look at the dearth of leadership today, true leadership, strong leadership. It really does highlight the importance of those of us in God's family, those of us in God's church, being trained, even right now, trained to lead and to teach the world. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send any and all comments to our email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
During his one of his lectures at the summer youth program that we had a few weeks ago, my father admonished all of the young people, the teenagers, saying that you need to learn this truth that you're receiving here at camp, because one day you're going to be teaching it even to world leaders, teaching them the truth of God. He used this scripture in his lecture. This is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the eternal God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Be ready. You got to be ready to ask, or rather answer, any question. I suppose we've got to be ready to ask a few questions too, because we don't know. But God wants to teach us. He wants to teach us, and He wants for us to get it so deeply that we can explain it to anyone. "Now you be ready," he said through Peter. "You be ready to answer." To answer any question. That, like I was even saying this morning in our doctrines class here at the college, I mean, that requires some deep study. That requires some deep study and meditation. We've got to really dig into our Bible study. We've got to know the Bible so that we can explain it to others, so that we can teach it to our children. Over and again in the book of Deuteronomy, God says to the Israelite parents, "Now you make sure you give this history, you make sure you teach about this generation, about these incredible miracles, about God's hand in this event. You make sure you teach it to your children. Teach it when they go down to bed at night. Teach it to them when they wake up in the morning. Teach it to them when they walk by the way with you. Be ready always, always to give an answer." Notice Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Paul says here, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." Paul had a lot to teach these brethren in Judea, but they were dull of hearing. They couldn't really receive strong meat. They had to go back to the very basics and in some ways start over. Verse 12, it says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. See, God called them to be teachers, but they had to go back and learn the first principles of God's truth. You think about what happened during the seventh and final era of God's church, the Laodicean era of the church. The great falling away from the truth. People that thought they had the truth, they thought they knew and understood God's truth, God's teaching, God's purpose, God's plan. And yet how quickly they forgot. Soon after the death of Herbert Armstrong, even before he died, he was sounding the alarm, even to the ministry, right in front of the brethren. This is from a message he gave in 1985, I believe. He said, I've heard ministers speaking as if they've never heard of that. He was expounding upon God's purpose and plan. He said, I've said to some of them, I don't think our people understand that. And they say, oh, yes, they do, Mr. Armstrong. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. You don't understand it. Not like we should. Not as deeply as we should. How deeply do you understand God's purpose and plan, what he's working out here below? This morning in Doctrines, I was talking about how Mr. Armstrong came to a knowledge of the truth. You go back to those early days of his conversion, night and day study, 6 months of night and day study as God was giving him one precious doctrine, true doctrine of God, one at a time. And he wrote, I think it was in the autobiography, but he wrote that it wasn't until years later that the whole picture began to emerge and he began to see what the purpose and plan was all about. He said the Bible's like a jigsaw puzzle. He wrote about that when he released Mystery of the Ages. He told that to the sophomore class back in 1985. You just can't read it from cover to cover. It's not like a biography about a U.S. president that starts with the birth and ends with his death. You've got to be able to piece things together, just like Isaiah 28 says, here a little, there a little. And when you begin to see the full picture, wow, what a plan, what a magnificent vision. God's purpose, as he's working it out here below. Notice Amos 9. Amos 9, this speaks of the work that God's given to us, we in the Philadelphia Church of God, following the death of Herbert Armstrong. Hosea, Joel, Amos chapter 9. I don't have some of these verses in my notes, so I'll go old school yet again. Amos 9 and verse 11, it says, and in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Even amid all these destructive beings that have forced their will upon God's people. As I read to you the other day, those verses in Ezekiel 23, Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah 34, how that God's shepherds have driven the sheep. They've driven the flock astray. The leaders, see, the sickness is there at the top, right at the top of God's church, going back to the 1980s and 1990s, the late 80s. And then you look at the leadership in our nations today. Why in Israel? I wonder if some of the Taliban's neighbors there in the Middle East, you know, Pakistan or some of the other leaders around that nation, how many of them would talk like that UK defense chief? Look, they've come a long way. They've made so much progress. They're including women now. Just give them some time. Only in Ephraim and Manasseh, only in the United States and Britain. Why in our nations? Well, study the United States and Britain in prophecy. That's a good place to start. Start with that book, and it'll tell you everything that you need to know about why our nations are in rapid decline. And the whole world, as I said yesterday, the whole world is watching. They're watching in Moscow. They're watching in Beijing. They're watching in Tehran. They're watching in Berlin. They see the sickness. They see the disease. It shows just how important this work is. The leaders of tomorrow, notice Revelation 1, God speaks of his saints in this passage as kings and priests. So he already views us as the future leaders that we will be. That's how hopeful and optimistic God is. This is Revelation 1 and verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God." Already, see, it's as if it's already happened. Has made us kings and priests. And so how important is it then, while getting this training, to dig into our Bible study, or like I was saying today in class, to have close, intimate contact with God, effectual, fervent prayers, diligent Bible study every day, studying the Bible like the Bereans, feasting on God's truth. God's truth is like dew from heaven, raindrops coming down slowly and consistently, like it says in Deuteronomy 32, and then turning into a downpour if we're really hungry and thirsty. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for God's way, for God's truth. The prophet Samuel said, "I'm not going to let one of those words, those precious words of God, fall to the ground." Jesus said when the disciples were picking up the scraps of all the leftovers there in the miraculous, that miraculous event in John 6, he said, "Now gather up all of the fragments. Don't let one go to waste." And that's like spiritual food. Just have a big appetite, gather it all in, consume as much as you can, and learn it. Learn it as deeply as you can so that you can then go and give it to others, so that you can go and then and teach it to the whole world. God really needs us to assist his son, Jesus Christ. God will strengthen us. God will empower us. God will educate us. God will protect us. As I was saying to the students this morning, if you're grounded in the truth, I mean, that's some protection, and we need it in this evil world. We need protection. We need to stay inside God's fortified city and just really intensify our training program so that we can serve God when Christ returns to this earth, so that we can serve the God family for all eternity. That's our calling. That's our focus, our future, our hope. And hopefully that hope is becoming all the more real and vivid, just like when the whole picture emerges and you see, you understand, you know, oh, this is what it's all about. Early on, Mr. Armstrong said, he looked into the Bible, he had surrendered to God, so he says, okay, it says here, we've got to keep the Sabbath. He started doing it, but then as he wrote, years later, the whole picture emerged. That's the kind of education that God wants you and me to go through, very similar to what Mr. Armstrong went through, so that we can get to the point where we see the vivid picture in all of its color and brilliance and glory. And we know it so well, we know it so deeply, that we're able to then go and take it and teach it to others, explain it, God's purpose and plan to all mankind. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to order some of the material I talked about today, U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Send us feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.